Some common sense in the middle of a senseless tragedy. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Hello out there to everybody in Radio Land, and just want everybody to understand if things sound a little funny, it's just a technical glitch. Don't worry about it. We're working on it.
And if it sounds like it normally sounds, well, we're sorry.
We're sorry about that, too. That's right.
Well, it's okay, I think, because we do record this program. And we record it ahead of time, so that means oftentimes we're not on the same day as certain things that are breaking in the news. But honestly, I think for our listeners' sake, that actually might be better, because oftentimes when an event happens, early returns you get from the media, whether that be the mainstream media or even from what folks would be considered conservative media, sometimes goes far afield of what the actual circumstances really are. And I think that most of our listeners are fully aware of what happened late last Thursday night, early Friday morning, in Aurora, Colorado, where a 24-year-old neuroscience student, who somehow, we're still not sure of all this, went mental and walked into a crowded movie theater showing a midnight showing of the new Batman film, and opened fire, killing a dozen and probably 40 other people. And that has captured the news cycle over the weekend, and you've heard a lot of things. Most of what you've heard, Chuck, has been your standard mainstream mantra that it's all about those bad guns. Oh, look at how horrible, and if this, we would have had stronger gun laws, and we would have banned these type of weapons, this wouldn't have happened. And Chuck, you and I have heard that many times before on many other things that have happened. You, ladies and gentlemen, you know, let's all be honest about it. Oftentimes, you have some of these mass killings, and yes, firearms are involved. But
yeah,
there are other things that are involved with it, but it seems that many people in media want to use the event as an excuse for their personal philosophy to become policy. They want to ban all private ownership of guns. Now, Chuck, I think that we're not going to get away from that anytime soon. We've seen it historically, almost every time something happens, someone out there is coming out saying, we've got to get rid of the private ownership of all firearms.
Why not? Because let's face it, these same kinds of things have been used in countries like England and Australia to justify the elimination of the private ownership of weapons. I've been to Britain and seen what people have to go through to keep even antique firearms in their homes. They have to be kept unloaded. They have to be kept locked up, which means essentially they're useless for any form of self-defense. And everybody in Britain knows that. Virtually the entirety of Britain, except certain few areas, are quote-unquote gun-free zones. And therefore, those who illegally own guns are free to wield them and do large massacres, as happened several years ago. There was a fellow that showed up at a schoolyard and just started shooting children.
Yes.
And the fact is, there was nobody to stop him. There was nobody armed. And we have the same situation in the Colorado shooting. Let's dive right into it, Barry, and take a look at what happened there. Aurora, Colorado has a strict gun control law. State law has been used to override that law. But nonetheless, it's a wrestling match between state and local government. The theater where this took place had a strict no firearm policy.
Yeah, they were a posted facility.
Yes, they were a posted facility, and therefore, all the law-abiding citizens left their 38s and 22s and 25s and 45s and 9mm at home. And what that did was made them prime targets for someone who had spent months, and this is now becoming clear since Thursday night, this person, this James Holmes, had spent months planning this thing. And I'm going to ask you a question, Barry. This guy was a neuroscience major. He was one of these guys that apparently was really brilliant, and a certain percentage of them are sitting right on the edge of insanity from their brilliance. What if this guy had used his neuroscience training instead of buying guns?
I see where you're going to.
Yeah. Let's say that he had decided to go down to the grocery store and buy some of the regular household chemicals that can be used, and I'm not going to tell you how it can be done.
It can be done, yes.
To make something, let's say he decided to make napalm and throw napalm bombs in that theater. Or let's say he decided to make mustard gas. Or let's say some other form of deadly weapon.
Sure.
Would we then have calls to ban those normal household chemicals?
Well, we possibly would, Charles. I don't put aside the liberal media's fascination with playing paternalistic everything. Yeah, there would probably be some calls from some liberal congresspeople about banning or heavily regulating and taxing your basic everyday household items. I mean, we've seen it with the drug abuse issues, you know. Think about it now when you go to the store. The guys that are listening, you go to the auto parts store and you go to buy certain things to fix your car with, you're now carded and they have to check your ID and everything else in order to get some basic equipment to fix your car because somebody came along with some crazy idea of using it to make drugs.
Barry, okay, it's interesting you bring that up because I grew up in a pharmacy household. My dad was a registered pharmacist. My grandfather was a registered pharmacist. My uncle still is a registered pharmacist. These days, in order to buy past a certain amount of over-the-counter cold medicine, you have to register it.
Yes.
And that's because it can be used to make methamphetamine or speed or whatever you want to call it. And I'm a biochemist, and I don't know the exact method of doing it. I was not very good at synthesis and organic chemistry, but I could find out really easily, and I could do it. Now, why would I want to do that? I wouldn't, and I very rarely take cold medicine. But the fact is that if I want to buy some cold medicine, I have to go in and sign a sheet. Now, I personally don't mind that. If somebody's going to go around confiscating cold medicine, whatever, I can survive on something else. Although it is a matter of my personal liberty if I choose to take cold medicine or not. The Second Amendment is a little different story. The reason I brought that little thing up about confiscating it is because these are apples and oranges comparisons. These guys will attempt to draw a parallel with those things. The anti-gun crowd will attempt to draw parallels with those two things and say, well, we have to register these things and we have to register that. Well, first of all, I'm not convinced you should have to register that. I think it's enough that a pharmacist says, this guy just bought out my entire stock of cold medicine, should be enough for someone to say they might be doing something that they're not supposed to be with that.
Well, yeah, that could be the case unless you happen to be the, my brain's escaping me now, the family in Colorado that has 22 kids. You might just buy out the entire section of your dorm's old medicine when you have when cold season comes along.
Oh, well, the Duggars. Yeah,
the Duggars, thank you. That's right.
I think they're they're actually in Tennessee, but
well, there,
I think...
There was another family at one time between the actual children and adoptees, they had 22 kids. So,
oh, wow.
So yeah, they could end up being on a watch list.
Exactly.
Every cold season.
But let's get down to the bottom line here. This is about your right to keep and bear arms. And the fact is, there is no restriction in the Constitution regarding firing rate. There's no restriction regarding magazine size, nor should there be. There's no restriction regarding caliber. There's no restriction regarding how many you can own. Mm-hmm. There's no restriction regarding how much ammunition you can own.
Well, and you know, Charles, and that's the thing, too, is that the mainstream media oftentimes wants to pick a villain. They want to have a villain. And if the villain isn't somebody because it doesn't fit their meme, and I believe that the Aurora shooter here, but a gentleman by the name of James
Holmes,
thank you. A gentleman by the name of James Holmes doesn't fit their meme because they tried early on, and I think George Stephanopoulos tried to do this almost immediately after the shooting, was to link this gentleman to the Tea Party in Colorado because they found that Jim Holmes listed in the Colorado Tea Party's website and made the cosmic leap of logic that was the same guy, and so therefore this guy had affiliations with the Tea Party. But once that bubble got popped and got popped rather abruptly, now it's all about the gun. Nobody's to stop to think, now wait a minute, here's a man who's supposed to be very intelligent, who commits an atrocity, and as you said earlier, Chuck, it didn't have to be a gun that he used. I mean, he's a neuroscientist, and he also had taken biology. He could have made any kind of chemical or biological weapon, and instead of popping a tear gas canister before opening fire, he could have just popped some canisters of a bioweapon that he had put together, but he was that bit, which news reports seem to indicate that he might have been. He could have done a lot more damage, a lot more extensively, than what he chose to do. But again, like we said, the media wants to go to push their personal philosophy. And we see that, and Chuck, you and I were talking about an article Newsbusters, which is the Media Research Center's website, newsbusters.org, where a correspondent for CNN by the name of Candy Crowley was desperately trying to get a public official to agree with her personal philosophy in an interview she did right after the over the weekend after the shooting with the governor of Colorado, John Hickenlooper, who, ladies and gentlemen, also happens to be a Democrat. And I thought this was an interesting give and take on this because she really just kept coming back and back and reframing the question in a way to try to get it so that Hickenlooper would say, oh, it's all about these bad guns, and yes, we need to have stronger, tighter gun restrictions. But she didn't get that kind of response from that. As a matter of fact, Hickenlooper said, as she was asking the question about, oh, you know, how horrible is this, and what do we deal with this? Do you see any law in here? This is the question she asked. She said, do you see any law anywhere that could stop a man with no record in a society that protects the Second Amendment that might have prevented this? You notice how she wraps that in there?
Yes, exactly.
It's a total nonsense, but she wraps it in there anyway because that's her meme. And he said, you know what? And this is the governor of Colorado, John Hickenlooper, says, we've been looking at the shootings all across the country and trying to say, how do we preserve our freedoms, right? All those things that define this country and yet are trying to prevent something like this from happening. Let me tell you, there's no easy answer. And he also said if there were no assault weapons available, there were no answer to that. This guy's going to find something. He's going to know how to create a bomb. You see, Andy Lipper just came right back at her with common sense that if somebody is dead set on causing harm and injury to other people, there's no way of preventing it by passing the law.
And that's exactly the point, Barry. You can pass all the restriction methods that you want. We can pass law after law after law after law, and this society has not quite figured this out yet. We can pass law after law after law after law, and those who are bent, because of their evil nature, on doing something evil are going to do something evil with or without the law.
Yeah, exactly. And Hickenlooper is showing quite a bit of sagacity here. And his response was, he probably kept pushing at him. Well, what I hear from you is you open people who want to suggest a gun law or something that might prevent this sort of thing. You notice she's now equating passing the law will prevent all this happening.
Right.
Because that's the only thing liberals understand is we pass the law and everything gets better. But Hickenlooper comes back and says, I'm happy to look at anything, but hey, again, this person, who knows where his mind would have gone? Clearly a very intelligent individual, however twisted. He says, that's the problem. This is a human issue in some profound way. This level of disturbed individual that we can't recognize it. The people around him obviously had no idea this was something that he was capable of. So in other words, if the people closest to this individual don't pick this stuff out and understand that, hey, something's wrong with James, how is a law passed by legislators and enforced by local officials going to have any better results than what is current? And honestly, Chuck, we're going to talk about this probably either today or on a later program about how some of these current laws may have caused this to be a much greater tragedy than it could have been.
Well, that's absolutely right, and I already kind of mentioned that. There was a restriction against carrying a firearm in that theater, and the law-abiding citizens left their guns at home.
Yes, they did.
And, Barry, if I'd had a pistol, even with the tear gas, that guy would have gotten off about two shots.
Yeah, and that's the whole point, ladies and gentlemen. Most times these gun restriction laws don't deter criminals. They deter law-abiding citizens who could protect themselves and others. I mean, you hear now, Chuck, coming from the media reports, that at least three men died protecting their girlfriends in the theater.
Yes.
By covering them with their own body while the shots were ringing out. What would have happened if any one of those three guys would have had a sidearm that he had registered or whatever, or had a concealed carry permit for, or let's say they allowed open carry and these guys were sitting there. First of all, I don't think the shooter would have been quite as falsely brave to come into that theater knowing that somebody in there could probably shoot back at him.
Right.
And that's the big thing with these criminals, Charles. If they know that the equation is imbalanced in their favor, they're emboldened by that. But once they realize that the equation is at least equal or maybe leaning toward their victim's favor, that puts a pause in most criminals' minds.
Yeah.
Now, it may have not been because he may have been totally out to lunch, but...
Yeah, we need to expand this, but we need to do it tomorrow.
Oh, well, that's fine. Please don't stay with us because we're going to be talking about gun rights and this issue and the psychology of it during this program.
Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.